Praise God. This has been absolutely wonderful. I appreciate you, Phil, for yielding to the Lord this morning. I did want to read something because I just feel like it just relates too well to this. And many of you have probably read it. It was in the MCM, but I wrote it back in February. And I'm just going to read it because it's been a word of encouragement that I felt like the Lord gave me. And I was going through a tough time in February. But I'm just going to read it. And, there's a lot that I want to relate to that came out this morning. I don't really know where to start, so I'm going to read from the beginning. But it's titled Prisoner of War. I certainly want to head for that exit. So it's battles are easy when you know it's coming. It's the unexpected that induces fear. When we're afraid, we naturally behave one of two ways. Either we run or we fight in our own strength, leaning on our own understanding. From recent experience, I know that this only results in self-inflicted harm. In these moments, God wants us to be still and seek Him. The harm may not have been physical, but injury nonetheless. The collateral damage fell on those who loved me the most. Through such failure, I learned things about myself that I despised, and I couldn't see past my deliberate choices to reject the blessings that God had offered me. I greatly lamented my inability to see what He had set before me in the present, as I had set my eyes on my own ideas of what the future may bring. The enemy used my fearful nature to take things away from me and to take me away from others. And after all this had concluded, just bear with me because I know this kind of seems gloomy, but it ends with hope. After all this had concluded, you can imagine how much I blamed myself. I felt defeated. I was, after analyzing over and over where I went wrong and how to fix my mistakes, which, by the way, my greatest mistake of all has been trying to fix my mistakes, and after remembering that the past cannot be changed, something hit me. I may have been defeated, but whether or not I remained defeated was my choice. It was at this point I realized I didn't just fail to defend my territory. I had been captured. I had become a prisoner of war. I sat behind bars peering out at the life that could have been if only I had done things differently. Posted upon my cell door was a sign which labeled my cell. While the more worldly prisoners around me were in cells labeled self-love, mine was labeled self-hate. But these labels became irrelevant when I recalled we were all in the same prison named self-focus. One day, when all hope seemed lost, a visitor came to me. He consoled me. "Friend," he said, "do not be discouraged. The enemy has fixed his weapons on you because you pose a threat to him. You can see he has attacked your career, your relationships, and even your well-being, for they put him all in danger. He has targeted you with the intended effect of destruction, but here am I have targeted you with the guaranteed effect of restoration. You may feel you have been defeated, but together we cannot be. The war is not over. I have paid your bail. You're going to get back in this fight, and we will be victorious." He offered to set me free under the sole condition that I accept this call and trust him enough to follow him forward. That's the most important part. He handed me a key which could unlock every cell in that prison. Its inscription read, "Self-denial." So that's what I have decided to do. I have chosen to quit focusing on myself and focus instead on what's in front of me. I will not blame, condemn, nor pity myself, nor anyone for that matter. I will rather thank God for the tests and accept the blessings he offers me throughout my quest for his kingdom and righteousness with gratitude and humility. I will fight on, one peaceable step of faith at a time. So help me, God, in the very name, which means God saves, the name of Jesus. Amen. And I wanted to back up to a point that, it's worth noting that when Christ came and set us free, he paid the bail by dying. I think that's what Phil was getting to earlier this morning. But that his death paid our bail, his sacrifice. But his life is the key to our freedom, his teachings. And he hands us that key. He doesn't unlock the cell prison for us. He hands it to us. He gives us those teachings, and he leaves it up to us whether we want to follow him or not. Are we going to sit there and waste his sacrifice in that prison, or are we going to take his teachings and move forward with him? And I'm speaking to myself more than I'm speaking to anybody else here. I'm just speaking it out loud because I need to hear it. Once we head for that exit, it's our nature to go right back to leaning on our own understanding and jumping right into, trying to grab hold of, the life that could have been if we had done things differently, or whatever you want to say. But Jesus calls us to follow him and follow him forward and to trust him. And I wanted to finish with a prayer from, this is actually a song that Chris Tomlin wrote. And this is my prayer. Lord, you help me move forward with this prayer. And it's called, "I Will Follow." And the chorus says, "Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. I will follow you. In you, there's life everlasting. In you, there's freedom for my soul. In you, there's joy, unending joy, and I will follow. Where you go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's in verse 11, you know, with the, again, the message of comfort and telling him, you know, what he's going to do, how he's going to rebuild him, how he's going to help him. But the part that caught my eye was if you go down in verse 15, where he says this, if anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. It, whoever attacks you will surrender to you. That's his, you see, is what we're talking about there, is that it's not that attacks never come, but when the attack comes, God's not in the attack. He's not sending, I guess we could say in a way, he's not sending it, but he's allowing it. But that's not him. His purpose is not that the attack defeats us and overwhelms us. His purpose is so that the attacker will end up having to surrender to us. That's his purpose in this, in allowing these things to come. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. And then he says this, see, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work, and it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. You see, again, God using the devil, using these things as tools to work in us. Now, the devil thinks that weapon he's forging is fit for its work in the sense that it's going to defeat us. But God's looking on it and says, yeah, that weapon he's forging is fit for its work, but its work is to make my people stronger. It's to bring my people victory, that when as I help them overcome, and they're not going to fall to this. So is he says this is the end of the account here. No weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. He's created these things and allowed these things to be as they are so that when they come against us, they will end up surrendering to us instead of the other way around. That's his purpose. And because that is our heritage, because he has already overcome. He overcame on the cross. That victory was finished. And it's ours by right. It's our heritage. It's our birthright. But we don't always live with that. We don't always walk in that. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing for us right now, is giving us more of our, laying hold of more of our heritage, and to realize, yes, these things are there and God allows them. But I tell you what, his purpose in it is the victory that if we've been talking about this morning. So praise God for the heritage he's left us.
Well, praise the Lord. Can we say amen to everything that's been said? Amen. Praise God. Thought of this verse that I believe it ties in with what Ben just said. Had it come to me before he got up. It's over in Revelation. It says, to the one who overcomes, or is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. And when I read that, I was thinking, you look at all the striving that this world does for. You look at the people in power, just, you know, this world system that we've been hearing about. It got God's kingdom, and then what we see going on, everybody's striving for this power or fame, or just filling up this themselves with this world. And you look at that verse right there, and is it worth to be an overcomer with him? I tell you what, the people of this world can't experience anything like that's in this scripture. They're not going to be sitting down with the Father and his Son one day. As God's children, we are. I mean, just think of the simplicity of that, but how real that is. I tell you what, that's something I want to attain to, but it'll be him all the way. As we've heard recently, it'll be God taking us all the way there as we agree with him, what he's doing in our lives. Amen. Praise God.